Amen. Jesus, He will fix it. After a while. Scripture be taken from Matthew chapter 4, verses 23 and 24, and also Matthew 5 and 16. 4 and 23 and 24, and 5 and 16. And it reads, it says, "And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease among the people. Then his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought to him all sick people who were afflicted with various diseases and torments, and those who were demon-possessed, epileptics, and paralytics, and he healed them." Now turn with me, 5 and 16. 5 and 16 says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." That was Matthew 5 and 16. Now we'll be led into prayer by Brother Tyran Baker.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, your kindness, love, and sacrifice have given us an example to follow in our own lives. Help us reflect those attributes in our actions with each other. Lord, give us eyes to see the needs of people around us. Yes. If it is your will, meet them with generosity. Fill us, Holy Spirit, with courage to risk loving our enemies and show us opportunities to be more welcoming. Father, thank you for sending Brother and Sister Jones our way. Amen. We are looking forward to moving forward here at Newburgh.
Amen.
Please be with Brother Jones as he brings our message today. We ask these blessings in your Son's name. Amen.
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 What are you doing? What?
I'm preaching today.
No, I'm preaching today.
I thought I was preaching.
No, today.
I'm preaching
today.
No,
well,
I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to flip a coin.
By flipping a coin.
That's call it.
Heads.
Wait, hold on. There's no heads or tails on this coin.
That means neither one of us going to preach. But we know who is going to preach. Who's going to preach?
I don't know.
Tell them who's going to preach.
It's going to be Brian C. Jones,
minister for the Newburgh Church of Christ, Brother Jones.
I love to praise Him. I love to praise Him. Stay right there. raising name.
All right, Newburgh, praise the Lord.
Newburgh Church of Christ. We in here. If God woke you up this morning, if you have blood running warm in your veins, if he protected your family last night, if he blessed you to get here safe right now, you ought to not be like those who didn't come back and give God no praise. But Jesus has done something for you. Go ahead and give God some praise right now and tell him thank you. Thank you, good God. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is good. And you're looking at a miracle.
Praise God. Man.
So miracles do happen.
Yes, sir.
This is certainly a historic time for the Newburgh Church.
Man.
And I want you to know that I don't take the opportunity that the Lord has given me and my wife lightly.
That's right.
I think that the Lord gives you seasons of preparation for what he has truly called you for. And I'm just so grateful to God to have this opportunity to be able to serve at this great church. So many years of history at the Newburgh Church. I just want you to put your hands together for the Newburgh Church right now. Come on, Newburgh.
Yeah. God is good.
I just want you to know that whatever it is in your life that you're dealing with right now, Jesus can fix it.
Yes, sir.
And no matter what you've been through, no matter how you got here, no matter what your parents did to get you here, amen, somebody, the Lord can still use you. He can use her. If he could use a wretch like me, y'all better come on in here. He can bless you to be used as well. Amen, somebody. Me and my wife are just getting transitioned. We want to thank this church for all the great things you guys have done to get us here so that we could work and use our gifts and to be supported here. So we're so grateful for that and the Newburgh Church. So many people have done so many things behind the scenes to get us here and things to, just to help us get with this transition to get to Louisville. And we're just so... Did I say that right, Louisville? Y'all didn't even shout on that. I said Louisville right. Amen. So I've been practicing this thing. Amen, somebody. They told me you can't say Louisville. Or Louisville. You gotta say Louisville. Oh, y'all miss your shout again. I'm just happy to be in Louisville, Kentucky. Amen, somebody. We left everything to come be with you. We left our parents, we left our family, we left our church family there. We left what we were comfortable with because God has us on assignment here. And I want to thank all of you who have prayed for us, who have blessed us. I want to thank the leadership. I want all the deacons and the elders, and just to stand if you can. Deacons and elders, please, if you would, sir, please stand. Give them a round of applause. Thank you all so much. And the leadership of this great church here and all of those brethren. I have to, before I get into my lesson, I have to just tell you, Newburgh, that you've been blessed for all these years to have Brother Fleming. Go crazy right now for Brother Fleming. God bless you, man. You've done a mighty good work here. And go crazy for Sister Fleming. Come on in here, y'all. Amen. Amen. Brother Fleming, there's some things you have done that have been remarkable.
That's right.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Awesome. Things you've been through and how humble a man you are to shepherd God's people all this time. Go ahead and do that. Come on, church. And I truly look up to you.
Amen.
And men like you who have given your life for the cause of Christ. And so I'm following in your footsteps to try to do the same thing. And thank you for all of your lessons, everything you've done to encourage me and my wife and to help us get to this point. And I'm so grateful for your ministry, but I'm grateful for the man of God that you are. Put your hands together again for Brother Fleming. Thank you, brother. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Newburgh has only had four preachers and I'm the fourth one. Lord have mercy. God has been good to me.
very few people are able to see their dream achieved. And it was a dream of mine to be able to use my gifts and my wife's gifts to help out a church like Newburgh, who is already running. Amen, somebody. And all I want to do is put some sauce and some gravy. Y'all better come on in here on what you already got. Amen, somebody. And see if we can take this thing up to another level. But I'm so grateful for the opportunity. So grateful to God for you. And just for those of you who are here today, who are visitors, I want you to know that we are the Newburgh Church of Christ.
Amen.
And excuse us, because we just love Jesus.
Yeah.
Because Jesus saved us. Did he save us, church?
Yeah.
And Jesus transformed us.
Yeah.
So we don't mind giving God the glory.
Yeah.
We don't mind giving God the praise.
Yeah.
Because even though we come in here and we look like we're dressed up on the outside, some of us can testify that we used to be messed up on the inside. But the Lord came in our lives and cleaned us up and turned us around and, come on in here somebody, set our feet on solid ground. And I'm not ashamed to come to this place and say thank you. Because we serve an awesome God. And we're just happy to have you here today. Hopefully I can hug your neck shortly. So good to have all the encouragement that you guys have given us. I want to just say thank God for Proverbs 18:22. He who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. Sister Jones, I got to ask you to do this, baby. Just stand up real quick. Amen. Thank you, baby. God has been good to me, y'all. And I'm so thankful for my wife. I don't know about y'all, but I don't like to pack. Oh, Lord.
Like the what?
I don't like to pack or unpack.
Oh,
yeah. And the movers were just stunned that we had everything in boxes
right.
And stuff wrote on it where it was supposed to go, what room it was supposed to be in, because Sister Joan did that. Praise the mighty name of Jesus. Put your hands together for my good thing. Amen, somebody. Love you, baby. Yeah, she go everywhere with me, and we just work together for the Lord. I want to thank the search committee for allowing God to use you to bring us here. And I just want to thank everybody before we get into our lesson. I'm ready to just set Louisville on fire right now. Amen, somebody. There's a lot of people who lost. There's a lot of people who don't know Jesus. There's a lot of people who go to churches that don't get taught the word of God. They get taught somebody's opinion or something to try to fill up a church. But the Bible is enough. And I want everybody to know that when you come to this church and when you listen to the word of God, we're going to teach you the word of God and explain it to you so that you can understand it and hopefully obey it and apply the word of God. Because ultimately, this thing is all about getting to heaven.
Yeah.
Everybody shout heaven.
Yeah.
And if we don't make it to heaven, it won't be nobody's fault but yours. Amen, somebody. So we're just grateful to God today for all the brothers who preceded us in this worship. I know that there's chicken to be ate. Amen, somebody. And meal, but I got to give you a spiritual meal before you get the physical. Is that all right? And I want to thank every young person. We got a lot of young people here today, y'all. Put your hands together for the young people. Amen. God bless you real good. God bless you. God bless you. We got some young people, some young adults, even some people in the balcony. Amen, somebody.
All right. You are
here because of Jesus Christ. And what we're going to talk about today, I hope and pray, will be a blessing to your life. If you would and could, out of reverence for the word of God, I'm going to kindly ask those of you who are physically able to stand just for one verse. Matthew 5:16. And then we'll give you our sermonic title. Please arm yourself with a writing instrument so that we can give you some meticulous notes so that you can live out this sermon for the rest of your life if you apply it to your life. Just for emphasis sake, Matthew 5 and verse number 16, and we're so grateful to God. I'm reading from the New American Standard Translation. If you need a blessing this morning, say, speak, Lord.
Speak,
For your servant is listening.
Pray for me silently. Please flank me with your prayers. The Bible says in Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Is that in your Bible? I want you to open up your mouth and look at the person beside you and open up your mouth and enthusiastically say, neighbor!
Neighbor!
Oh, neighbor!
Oh, neighbor!
Your blessing!
Your blessing!
Is on the way.
It's on the way.
You can be seated in the presence of the Lord. Your blessing!
Your blessing
is on the way. For the benefit of those who are taking notes this morning, because you know that God has you here, I want you to be able to remember this sermon, and let me give you the title and the topic. I'm lit for the Lord. I'm lit for the Lord.
That's good.
Here is the entire sermon, and I'm going to spend the next few minutes explaining it to you. God wants every individual in this place to let your light shine. Everybody. God wants everybody in this place to let your light shine. And for Jesus to make that command and make that statement, it presupposes that you have some light. Amen, somebody. The instructions are to just use your light and to let it shine. Amen, somebody. I love this powerful Matthean text because it is absolutely pregnant with powerful preaching points and possibilities. You need to simply know that this text gives us a glimpse into the mindset of Jesus Christ. The thing I love about Jesus Christ, church, beloved, family, and friends, is that Jesus would meet you wherever you are. No matter what you're going through, no matter what the conditions are to which you are dealing with, Jesus would be willing to meet you wherever you are. And he was always poised and positioned to help people out with their needs. Now here's a powerful ministry perspective here that Jesus teaches us. When you provide a need for somebody, you don't have to spend a whole ton of money trying to do flyers and announcements and all that kind of stuff right now. You know why? Because people will come to you. Business owners, you just missed that. Can I tell you that when you provide a need, everybody shout need. All right, here it is, beloved. When you provide a need for somebody, you don't have to spend a whole bunch of money marketing. People will come to you. That's why you don't have to sell me on coming to church. You know why? Because I need church. I wish I had a witness through here. You don't have to sell me on worshiping God. You know why? Because I need a God to worship. You don't have to sell me on Jesus because I know I've done some stuff in my life. Oh, you ain't looking right. Look at the person next to you and say, neighbor, you've done something too. Go ahead. So you don't have to sell me on Jesus because I know I need forgiveness, Brother Fleming. And so you don't have to sell me on being saved because I know I need to be saved. Amen, somebody. The Bible says, beloved, in Matthew chapter 4, thank the brother for reading the text, chapter 4, verse 23, Jesus was going throughout all Galilee. Where was Jesus going in Matthew 4, 23? Jesus was going throughout all Galilee. Now, Brother Fleming, the word all is a very interesting word. Because the word all means that it is inclusive of everybody in Galilee and excludes nobody. So Jesus, notice his ministry. He was going throughout all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom. And watch this. The Bible says in verse number 23 that he was healing every kind of disease.
Somebody in here needed to come to church just to hear that right there. Yes. I'm going to rewind and press play again. Here it is. He was healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness among the people. So Jesus had a twofold ministry. He was teaching people, but he was helping people out with their needs. Y'all don't get it yet. He was teaching people, but he was also helping people out with their needs. Here it is. Ooh-wee. That is a pregnant point that we need to understand, because what we try to do sometimes, come on in here, scoot up a chair. We try to shove the gospel down somebody's throat and make them take it and make them swallow it. And we ignore all the things that they stand in need of, and ignore that, because sometimes people want to know you care before they'll listen to what you got to say. Am I right about it? So what we have to do, come here church, we have to have a needs-based ministry. Just like Jesus. Because let me illustrate it to you this way. Have you ever tried to talk to somebody and they didn't want to listen to you because they were hungry?
Come on. Yeah.
Have you ever tried to talk to somebody and they didn't want to listen to you, Brother Travis, because they were hungry? Now what you was trying to do is get them to listen to you, but they couldn't hear you. Because they were hungry. I think they call it hangry.
Yeah. Yeah.
When you're hungry and angry all at the same time. God just put this in my spirit. There are no bad children.
Come on.
Teachers, come here. Sometimes we call kids bad because they act out. But what we don't understand is the kind of dysfunctionality that they have to deal with in their home dynamic. Amen, somebody. And it could be that the child is acting out because he's hungry. So if you give him a hot dog or a sandwich, amen, somebody, then she can hear, y'all better come on in here, what you have to say. Because people need to have their needs met before you start to talk to them about whatever it is that you want to talk to them about. And we learn that from Jesus. So we need to make sure we understand ministry is not difficult. Ministry can be easier than we make it. We try to get people to do stuff, but we don't sometimes talk to them about what their needs are. And I don't know about you, but I believe that every man, woman, boy, or girl, whether you walked in here or rolled in here, you got some needs. Am I right about it? Everybody in here has some needs. And some of us, most of us, are dealing with some conditions in our lives that are unfavorable right now. You walked in those doors with a need, and you have some conditions. Am I right about it? But can I tell you that Jesus would help you out regardless of whatever it is that you're dealing with, because he understands that. That's why he was going everywhere, healing the sick, helping out with their needs. Amen, somebody. And then he had an opportunity to teach them. So the Bible says in Matthew chapter 4 and verse number 24 that the news about him spread throughout Syria. And they were bringing to Jesus all kinds of people who were ill and sick, who had pains. Anybody here got any pain? Every now and then, pain in your back, pain in your legs, pain in your knees, pain in your feet, pain in your shoulders, pain in your elbows. Arthritis and got pain in your hands. Y'all not saying nothing. Pain over here and pain over there. And sometimes you just want somebody to understand the pain that you are dealing with. Jesus understands, because the Bible says they were bringing to him all kinds of people who were suffering from diseases and pains and demoniacs and epileptics and paralytics. And they were bringing those people to Jesus because those people heard that Jesus Christ could help them out with their needs. Amen, somebody. Now, if you're a Bible reader, you remember Brother Fleming in Mark chapter 2, when they brought a man that was paralyzed and four brothers were carrying him, but they were trying to get to Jesus because the man was a paralytic and he was paralyzed. And that's why those four brothers were trying to help him. So when they got there, the Bible teaches us that there was no longer room, not even near the door. So the brothers had to improvise and they said, we're going to take it up a little bit and we're going to go up on the roof and we're going to cut in somebody's roof. I don't even know if they had insurance or not, but they went up on that roof and cut a hole in there and let that man down. And Jesus was doing what I'm doing right now, my brother. I'm preaching and Jesus was preaching and he looked up and said, oh my goodness. He saw a man coming down. He said, seeing their face, son, you have been healed. Because that man was a paralytic and Jesus healed paralytics. Jesus also healed epileptics. Epilepsy is a neurological disorder that affects the brain. And what Jesus would do is you would find a person in Mark 9. There was a man that had a son that was an epileptic. He was stiffening out and foaming at the mouth and he was having convulsions and going into seizures, and they tried to find Jesus because Jesus could help him out with his knee. There was a man that was cutting himself with stones in Mark 5, and he was literally out of his mind mentally, but he had an encounter with Jesus, and he was a demoniac. And can I tell you, let me pause right now and throw this in the sermonic gumbo while I make my rule. Let me just tell you this. We got some people in the church, they got some mental issues too. Am I right about it? You don't have to be on the crazy floor and no hospital to have some mental issues. We all got some mental issues too. You have some thoughts in your mind. Am I right about it? And you have some situation that you're dealing with from your past too. The moment, no relationship can be perfect because the moment you get in it, it's messed up. Y'all ain't even in here. Can I tell you right now? We all got some trouble and some baggage. But Jesus can help us out with our situation. So that's what Jesus was doing. He was healing people. People who had pain. People who had disease. Demoniacs, epileptics, and paralytics. And guess what? They were bringing all those kinds of people to Jesus. So when you get over to Mark chapter 5, what you will find is, beloved, that Jesus saw the large crowds. Everybody shout, large crowds. Large crowds were coming to Jesus because they knew that Jesus could help them out with their problems. So the Sermon on the Mount was birthed out of Jesus finding people that he had healed before and people that he could heal. And Jesus took an opportunity to teach the people once they came to him. When you help people out with their needs, they will come to you. Are y'all in here? When you give somebody something that they need, they will come to church when you invite them because they know that you are a person of integrity and you care about them and you have tried to help them out before. Amen, somebody. So Jesus steps upon the mountain. His disciples come with him. He sits down, as was his custom, and began to teach them. Here's where the text drove me crazy when I was studying it. The Bible teaches us that Jesus gave these people who were following him, watch this, two affirmations. He gave them, for you people taking notes, he gave these people two affirmations. An affirmation is when you state a fact and you provide some emotional support for somebody. In other words, it's saying something positive. That's why it makes no sense to sit at home and not come to church. Because you can get affirmed when you come to church. Amen, somebody. And somebody gonna tell you everything gonna be alright. God is still on your side. God is still with you. God is never gonna leave you. He's always gonna be there. That was worth coming to church right there. Amen, somebody. Just to know that God loves me and he cares for me. Woo! Let me move on real quick. But you need to know that Jesus affirmed two things for these people, and I let you go. Number one, he affirmed to those people, his audience who was following him, people who were sick, demoniacs, epileptics, paralytics, people going through pain and suffering. He informed them, watch this, three things here, that they were going to receive a reward.
Come on. All right now.
Let me tell you something about your life. Regardless of the conditions that you're in right now, I need you to know that you are going to receive a reward. Now he's telling sick people this now. So notice in verses 3 through 11, the first word of verses 3 through 11 is the word blessed. Everybody shout blessed. Now here's what Jesus says. He uses the word blessed. Now, the word blessed comes from the Greek term makarios, and what that means is happy or fortunate.
Yes.
Let's say it together. Happy or fortunate. What? One more time. Happy or fortunate. Now, notice his audience, sick people, including his disciples, were there with him, and he starts his sermon, and the first word he used is blessed, which means
happy.
One more time.
Happy.
Watch this. Regardless of your conditions, you need to know that you are blessed. Your neighbor needs to know that they are blessed. Look at the person next to you and say, neighbor, you are blessed.
You are blessed.
Now watch this. That has nothing to do with what you're dealing with in your conditions. You need to know you are blessed. Now watch this. He affirms that they're going to get a reward. Now notice what he says here. Blessed are those who are poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So number one, people who are going through all kinds of conditions, number one, he says you're blessed.
Amen.
And then he mentions in the text, he mentions the condition. Then he mentions the reward. So no matter who you are and what you're dealing with and what kind of condition you have, number one, you need to know that Jesus is affirming that you are blessed regardless of your condition, and you will receive a reward. Is that right? Now I want you to notice this now. If you're poor in spirit, you're blessed because yours is the kingdom of heaven. If you are mourning because you lost a loved one, don't worry about it because you're blessed, because you shall be comforted. Are y'all in here? If you are nice to people, but they take advantage of your mercy, and if you've been merciful to people and they abuse your mercy, don't worry about it because you're blessed, because you shall receive mercy. And if you hunger and if you are thirsty for righteousness, don't worry about it because you shall be satisfied. Amen, somebody. And when they insult you and say all kinds of evil against you because of your religious conviction with Christ Jesus, don't you worry about nothing, because you shall receive a reward in heaven and it will be great. So what he is doing is saying, regardless of your conditions that you're dealing with, number one, you need to know you're blessed and you're going to receive. Okay, y'all ain't saying reward. That's why they're not saying reward like y'all really want nothing more. I don't know about you. I want some stuff out of life. Y'all not saying nothing in here. I want God to bless me with some stuff every now and then. And these people over here, they got it over here. They say, I want a reward, preacher. Anybody here want a reward by show? Wave hands and amen. God bless me right now, Lord. I need you right now. You just need to know when you come to Jesus, he can bless you to have a reward. But you need to know that regardless of your condition, maybe you're sick. Maybe you're going through something in your life right now. Jesus says, blessed are you. And regardless of what you're dealing with, why? Because you shall receive a reward. So number one, he affirms that these people who are listening to him as he is preaching are going to receive a reward. Now watch this now. Regardless of your predicament, you're blessed. Regardless of your situation, you are blessed. Regardless of whatever it is you're going through, do me a favor. Go ahead and mark this on your calendar. Cancel your funeral and concentrate on your future. Lord, have mercy. Some of us just sitting up there because what we're going through, just waiting to die. Look at the person next to you and say, cancel your funeral. Go ahead. Tell them, concentrate on your future. Go ahead. Yeah. You are blessed. You are blessed. And people who are sick and people who are going through things need to know that Jesus says you're blessed, because you will receive a reward. Anybody want one? I want you to get your reward, because the Bible teaches us that your reward in heaven will be great. The word great in the Greek comes from the Greek term megas, which means mega. You may not never get a mansion down here, But if you can just keep your faith in Jesus, I wish I had two or three witnesses up in here. Your reward, Brother Troy, in heaven will be great. Amen, somebody. Second thing I want to share with you is the fact that not only did Jesus affirm that they were going to receive a reward, he affirmed to them who they were.
Come on.
We need to know, because we get so bombarded by life. Am I right about it? Something hits you on a Monday. Something hits you on a Wednesday. Something hits you. Something is going on with your family. Somebody got a health problem. Somebody got to rush to the hospital. I wish I had a witness or two up in here. The child, the teacher called at school, and you got some stuff to deal with your child. And you got all these things going on. You need to know that who you are and who Jesus says you are. And I'm going to tell you about that in just a moment, because what the devil wants to do is the devil wants to change who God says you are and get you to believe that you're somebody else. So he attacks your spiritual identity. Mm-hmm. He will tell you you'll never be able to come to that church and be up there like them brothers. You'll never be able to serve like them sisters. You'll never be able to speak and do a sermon. He wants to tell you that you cannot do it, because he tries to change who God says you are. So when you come to church, you need to make sure you understand who you are. What are you doing, Jesus? I'm affirming that you will receive a reward, and I'm affirming who you are. I don't know about you, but when I go to, anybody here like Starbucks? Some sisters scared to raise their hand because they don't want to let their husband know they've been spending $5 every day. Starbucks coffee, bro, Mark, be high, bro. And all right about it. But sometimes church, they ask me, when I place an order, they ask me, what's the name for the order? And I know my name is Brian C. Jones. But sometimes, Sister Jones will tell you, I tell them Chosen. I may go to another Starbucks. I may say adopted. Roughly, I say saved. What's your name? For the order, redeemed. What am I doing? I'm reminding myself, come on in here, church, the name that God calls me. Because the devil wants to call you out of your name. Am I right about it? So here it is. Matthew 5. In verse number 13, watch how Jesus affirms to them, people who are sick, people who are dealing with some terrible conditions, who they are. The Bible says in verse number 13, I just need you to recite the first two words of verse number 13 with me. Y'all ready? Uh-huh. One, two, three.
You are.
First two words are you are. Yes. Which means that Jesus is telling sick people, people who are battling with sickness and issues, watch this, even for today, people who are dealing with addictions. Y'all all right with that? We got to be real at Newburgh Church. Because just because we come in here and we look cute, we got some stuff folks are dealing with. And we can't run folks away from the church, because that's why Jesus came. There are people who are dealing with addictions and pornography and all of these kinds of various issues. And just because that person's issue is different from yours, don't make you better than them. Am I right about it? Because we all need Jesus. So Jesus says, I want you to know that sometimes the devil will mess with you because of the condition that you're dealing with. And I don't want you to think that you're not blessed. But Jesus says in verse number 13, if you look at your Bibles, Jesus says, you are the salt of the earth. Is that in your Bible? Jesus says, if you want to know who you are the salt of the earth. Salt, my friends, is a crystallized mineral that is made up of sodium chloride. Salt has a multiplicity of variations that it's used in. I'm going to share two with you quickly so that you know who you are. Sometimes salt is used for food seasonings. Is that right?
Yes.
Let me illustrate it for you.
Yes.
Have you ever ate a meal with somebody and they said, you know, we're going to invite you over and we're going to cook a meal for you, and that person's food and that person's macaroni was different from your mama's? Nobody. I ain't got nobody real up in here today. You want to be nice and not say nothing? So when they went back into the kitchen, you grabbed the salt. Because the food was a little bland. It just did not have the taste that you desired, beloved. Is that right? And so you grabbed a little salt because the food needed a little flavor. Can I tell you that salt for a disciple is that encouragement that you give to people who have a bland life and people whose life needs some flavor? So as a disciple, when you walk up into a room, you light that room up. Why? Because you give encouragement, you give love, you give care, amen, kindness, and you have a giving spirit and joy and compassion that the world needs. When things just don't go their way, and when things overtake people, and when people have been put down. So when life seems bland and tasteless, and when life needs some extra flavor for it to be palatable, what God uses as an answer is us. I say he uses us. Why, Brother Seth? Because we are the salt of the earth. And there's some people in your life, people in your family, people in your household, people on your job that are living bland lives. You can't figure out for the life of you why God hadn't promoted you from that job to get away from those people. You're praying to God, God, move me to a different department. Y'all ain't helping me. So some of y'all praying somebody get fired tomorrow morning just so you don't have to deal with them. Am I right about it? I got the wrong crowd this morning. But what you don't know is the reason why God ain't moving you. The reason why God ain't moving you is because those people are in darkness. And the only way God can get some light to them is to have you around them. Hallelujah. And the only way that God can flavor their lives, amen, somebody, is to put you around because you are the salt of the earth, amen, somebody. Salt creates a thirst.
Come on, preacher.
When it's consumed, it's a desire to experience more. So when people see disciples, it should make them crave to know more about us.
Wow, that's good.
Because when you have something that's real salty, you got to get something to drink. Because it creates a thirst. And so when people see you, they should be asking you questions like, how is it that you keep a smile on your face? How is it that no matter what goes on in your life, you still praise your God? How is it that you still go there and give your money and take communion and you don't see no changes in your life? They don't know that God told you you are the salt of the earth. It is my job to believe in Jesus and live my life that way. So somebody, when's the last time somebody came to you and said, how is it that you are the way you are? How is it that you do the things that you do? How is it that you can still stay in the situation? You need to tell them because Jesus said, I'm the salt. I'm the salt of the earth. And so when you walk into a room, when you walk into a church, you should flavor the whole house. Why? Because there's something about us. Regardless of our conditions, he said, you need to know who you are. Last thing is, salt is used to preserve things. Maybe there are two or three of you from the country. Well, you know, salt is used to preserve. When salt is applied to things like meats, it stops, or rather slows down, the process
of decaying.
Come on.
Can I tell you, beloved, that even on today, in 2019, people are spiritually decaying all across the world. The devil got somebody thinking about suicide. And now it's children, unfortunately. And that's why we got to tell people who they are, so they'll know to be confident and they don't have to worry about anything, because we serve a God who is able to do far more abundantly more than all we can ask or think. Amen, somebody. So we got to train people to know who they are, because people are spiritually decaying every day. So as the salt, you and I as disciples, our jobs are to go around and to preserve people, encourage people before they began the transition of completely decaying and not be prepared for the next life. So you don't know when you pick up that phone and you tell somebody, God put it on my heart to call you to let you know that everything's going to be all right, and that I'm praying for you, and that I'm praying for your family. That person could have already written out a road about to kill themselves. Mercy. Ought to be thankful for Brother Fleming. Amen. You got preachers committing suicide these days. Because you never know the pressure and the stress of preaching and teaching and ministry. That's why I love him so much, because the way he handles himself with a humble attitude and wants to help you out. You can do him wrong, he still want to help you, because he knows he's the salt. The salt of the earth. And salt has to preserve people. It is a shame, beloved, that we see people knowing that they're in an undone condition, but because we don't want to do it, we don't want to talk to them about Jesus. We don't want to say nothing to them about helping them out with their needs. And we let people go and go and go, and finally there's a funeral and we're mad and say, I wish I would have done something. I wish I would have spent more time talking to them about the gospel. I wish I would have told them about the love of Jesus Christ and how awesome his blood is, and how God changed my life when I heard that a man died for me and gave his life for me. And God has so much power that God raised him from the dead. He is risen. And if you come to this church, we don't wait to Easter to tell you that he got up from the grave. I'm going to tell you every Sunday that he died, he was buried, and he got up from the grave. Never to die again. And because he lives, we have the hope for eternity. So we have to be that salt that preserves people. Do something, say something, love on people. People have needs. And we don't have to do a whole bunch of campaigning and marketing and spending money on flyers if we can just get a couple forgiven people. I said a couple people who know they've been forgiven. You'll go everywhere around Louisville and tell everybody about the Jesus that you serve. And you know what? We'll be moving to two services before you know it. Y'all better be ready. I'm ready. I'm ready for the gospel of Jesus Christ. I want you to be ready. That's what happened with Popeyes. I know you know. They ran out of chicken sandwiches. Know why they ran out, Brother Travis? Because they wasn't ready for what God was trying to do. So they ran out. I want us to be ready here at New Birth. Every person that you see that's a visitor, you ought to expect them at the end of the message. Baby, do you want to go down? Do you want to walk? Will we walk with you down there? You ready to give your life? You ought to expect that people are ready to be saved. Ready to be baptized. You got it. I'm ready. Anybody here ready? Look at the person next to you and say, neighbor, I'm ready. Go ahead. Yeah, I'm ready. Last thing and I'll be done. When Jesus affirms who these people are, not only does he say you are the salt of the earth, look at the next verse, verse number 14. The Bible teaches us that he says, you are the light of the world. Is that in your Bible?
Yes, sir.
There's so many people
who have been darkened by sin. There's so many people that pain my heart, beloved, to know that these mass shootings are still taking place. El Paso and Dayton, Ohio. And you got to remember that this world is evil, y'all. It's changed from the world that we lived in when you and I were growing up. There's a song Brother Wallace sings, you ought to take the Lord with you. Everywhere. You can, if you're in Walmart, you got to take the Lord with you. You don't know what somebody's trying to do these days. So you got to make sure you understand why understanding is absolutely available. That God says, Jesus says, you are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. And you know what you do with light? You expose it and you display it. You don't hide light. You display it. At my previous church, if you came from the south side, you had to go up a hill to get to it. And if you came from the west side or the east side, you had to go up a hill to get to it. Because the Bible says that a city on a hill cannot be hidden. I believe that the Church of Christ is that city. Y'all ain't even been in here feeling it right now. You got to make sure you display your light. We used to sing a song, "This Little Light of Mine." Y'all don't know it. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Yeah, let your light shine. And that's why God has you around negative people. Before you get too happy on that, it could be that God has you around positive people. Some of y'all will get that in 2 minutes. Let your light shine. I used to be in banking. Years ago, I used to be a bank manager. And I got promoted, and I had 16 people that were under me in terms of position, and I could not understand why they were so mad at me and hated on me. And let me tell you two things about people. Never let nobody know how much money you make in your next move. That was free. Don't let nobody know how much money you make, and don't let nobody know your next move. Because people will be jealous of you. Am I right about it? And they will hate on you. But you got to know the reason why God sometimes don't move you and He places you in positions is because you are the only source of light in that situation. So what God is looking for, sometimes the test is not even for you. He places you in the midst of the test so that He could put your spiritual character and your spiritual behavior on display so the people around you can see how you behave and how you act so that they can understand they need to come to Jesus. So stop thinking that it's something that you did. You know, I wish I had time to deal with Acts 16. The only way God could get to save that Philippian jailer and his whole household was to get Paul and Silas in jail. There was a man that God wanted to save. He was a jailer. It was a Roman jailer. But the only way God could get to that man to save him and his household is to allow a series of events to take place. And the Apostle Paul had to be locked up and incarcerated and whooped and beaten and gone to jail. So you got to be saying to yourself, sometimes God places me in positions so I can be that salt. And to be that light so that I could bring somebody to the Lord. So that's why He has you around negative people sometimes. And sometimes your imprisonment could be for somebody else's improvement. Your imprisonment, the fact that you don't want to be around some people and at some places, could be for somebody else's improvement. So you got to, number one, know Jesus is trying to affirm to you that you will receive a reward regardless of your conditions, and He wants you to know
who you are. By a show of waved hands and amen, does everybody know as a disciple who you are?
Amen.
Are you willing to let your light shine and be the salt of the earth? They can talk about you all they want. But when God gets ready to bless you, nobody can stop what God is trying to do in your life. Amen, somebody. So the three ways, but I want to tell you this real quick and we'll close. Matthew 5:16 says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. So after he tells them who they are, lets them know that they're blessed, regardless of their conditions, they have a reward. Then he says, let your light shine. There are three ways to help you do that. Number one, you got to realize that you have to be aware. Everybody shout aware. Of people's needs. Because you may be saying, well, Brother Jones, how do I let my light shine? When you live and you see people who have needs, that's when it's time to let your light shine. That could be giving somebody a ride to church, giving somebody a couple dollars, amen, giving somebody a phone call, sending them a text message, amen, somebody. Whenever you see somebody has a need, you need to then let your light shine. That's why I'm telling you, I'm lit for the Lord. I'm lit for the Lord. Anytime I get an opportunity to see somebody who has needs, that's what I'm going to do. And then you have to have an attitude, regardless of your condition, to let your light shine. Because what the devil wants you to do is not let your light shine because of your condition. Because remember, he says, blessed are the poor in spirit. All right? What's their condition? Poor in spirit. What are they? Still blessed. What are they going to receive? Theirs is the kingdom. So regardless of your condition, you still can be used by God. Anybody here believe that?
Yes.
You still can be used by God. We say, Brother Jones, I can't walk no more. Did they roll you in here? You still can be used by God. You say, Brother Jones, I ain't even got no legs. Keep running for the Lord. Amen, somebody. This is a spiritual thing. Amen, somebody. Third thing is, you have to have an appreciation for God to let your light shine.
Amen.
Now, if God has taken you from a lifestyle of sin,
yes.
Y'all get quiet on that. It's okay to say sin in the church in 2019? Everybody do it. Y'all better come on in here. You need to understand your attitude needs to be, my attitude is I'm trying to use my gifts to help somebody because I'm aware, and my attitude is if I see a need, I'm going to help somebody. Let your light shine. And if God has brought you from a mighty, mighty long way, the least you could do is be honest about where God brought you so that you can be relative and help out somebody else. And let me tell you something. Every good man in the Bible has some proclivities. Peter used to cuss. Cutting folks' ears off. Come on in here, somebody. David was an adulterous murderer. Y'all would never let David be the preacher. But God said, you're still a king. Amen, somebody. Noah got drunk. Y'all better come on in here. That's why I can relate to people. Because you're just like me. Only difference is, with some of us, I made up my mind to turn from evil. Have you ever noticed the fact that the word evil is the word live spelled backwards?
Yes.
Yes.
Say one more time. The word evil spelled backwards is live.
Yes.
Which suggests that that contrast means if you want to live,
come on.
You got to go back and turn away from
evil.
Are y'all in here? So if you want to live, you got to make sure you turn away from evil. Because everybody in here God wants to use to let your light shine. God says, I will clean you up. I will make sure you understand who you are as a salt of the earth. I will make sure you understand that you are the light of the world. Everybody in here can be used by God, regardless of the conditions you came up with.
Man, there are people in the Bible that slept with somebody and had some twins and didn't even know who the woman was, ended up being related to her, and God allowed that woman to bring forth the seed of Jesus. Yeah. Don't worry about, I didn't know my daddy, so I wasn't supposed to be here. No, if God did not want you here, you wouldn't be here. So don't worry about how you got here. Just worry about trying to do all you can while you are here. And God wants to use you to his glory and to his honor and to his praise. And I need to help you understand, I'm lit for the Lord. I'm going everywhere. I'm talking to everybody I can talk to. I'm trying to get men, women, boys, and girls in the church of Christ so that they can be saved by Jesus and make it to heaven. Some of y'all don't look excited right through here. Is anybody in here want to help us at Newburgh? Anybody want to take this place to another level and bring souls to Jesus by the service that I give? That was a May of 2019. That was a black billionaire by the name of Robert F. Smith. He was down in Atlanta, Georgia. He was the commencement speaker for Morehouse College HBCU. And shockingly and surprisingly, he announced that he was going to pay off all the student loans for every single Morehouse graduate of 19. Isn't that all right? I said, Lord, have mercy. And I thought about two things. I thought about the parents that struggled and worked hard, two jobs to give their son the education that he desired and they deserved, but they had to get some student loans. But because of the parents' sacrifice, they were rewarded when their son got notified that this billionaire, this black billionaire, was going to take away all those student loans. Amen, somebody. But I also thought about this. There were some parents that says, you don't need to get no student loans. Let's go to another school. Let's go to a tech school. Ain't nothing wrong with tech school, but let's not go to Morehouse. It costs too much. I don't want you getting those student loans. Don't do it. Don't go. So guess what? That son could have had an opportunity to get their school, all the loans paid off, but somebody didn't have enough faith to do it. Can I tell you something, church? That there is another man.
Come on.
Let me come over here. There's another man. And his name is Jesus. And Jesus has come to pay off all of your debt. I wish I had a witness up in here. Every time you've lied, every time you stole, every time you've done something wrong, Jesus paid it all. And he uses his blood to take care of your sin problem and my sin problem. He bore it all, church. So for the rest of your life, you need to fight, scratch, crawl, whatever you need to do to keep your faith in Jesus Christ, because he paid all your debt of sin off. And some of you looking like, Brother Jones, I never stole none before. Some of y'all looking like, I ain't never stole none before. Let me ask you a question. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever been at the grocery store and went around the wall section and saw the fruits and the vegetables and you said, baby, I want to get some grapes, but I want to try this one out real quick before I buy it because I just want to see how they taste? Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, you stole them. Go ahead. Yeah, you stole them. You stole them. You stole them. Yeah, you stole them. So since you stole them, you need Jesus. Amen, somebody. You need Jesus. I'm done. Bless you. Thank you for the wonderful way you listen. I hope I've helped you. But there may be one person here today. There may be one person here today that knows that you feel guilty because of sin. There may be one person here today that you did something last night. Maybe you're here today and you smoked something this morning. Maybe you took a drink or something. Man, whoever you are, You know you need to get right with Jesus. You know that if Christ came back right now, you don't believe you will make it to heaven. Jesus died for you so that his blood can cleanse you. And the only way you can be saved right now, you can walk away here a new person. If you're a boy or a girl or a visitor with us, you just need to know that we live for moments like this. That you can get your life transformed and changed right now. And Jesus paid it all. All you got to do, the Bible teaches us that you have to believe with all your heart that Jesus died for your sins. He was buried, and God had enough power to raise him from the dead. That's the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And I'm going to preach it every Sunday. Every Sunday you're going to get a He died sermon at the end. Amen, somebody. But he got up from the grave. And if you're willing to believe that, you got to repent of your sins. Feel bad because you've done it the wrong way for so long. And make up your mind. I'm not going to leave this church until I make up my mind to do better. He didn't ask you for perfection. He just asked you to try your hardest to do the right thing. Is that all right? If you walk down here, all you have to do is confess him as the Son of the living God. Amen, somebody. Confess your belief that he's the Son of the living God. And finally, let us baptize you in water today for the forgiveness, remission of your sins. The water is ready. You may have come here and didn't even want to get baptized, but something in your heart says Jesus is too good to turn down today. I don't know who you are, but I hope I'm preaching to you, because this is the most important part of your life, making sure that your soul is right with Jesus and that God knows your name and that your name is written in the book of life and that you'll live for eternity. God will then forgive you of all your sins, give you the gift of the Holy Ghost, and add you to the church that's in the Bible, the church of Christ. And if you stay in the Lord's church and be faithful until death, he has promised to give you eternity. Amen. Baptism takes 3 seconds. Stand to your feet. Stand to your feet. Stand to your feet. Who are you? Who are you? Who are you? Why don't you come right now? Why don't you come right now? Why don't you come right now? If you need some help walking down here, if you're a little boy or a little girl, God bless you. God bless you. If you need some help walking down here, just raise your hand. I'll come back there and get you. If you need to be saved, come down. Just walk down right now. Let us baptize you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Let us pray for you if you're here. Let us baptize you if you need to come to Jesus. God bless you. God bless you. I don't know. I'm going to sing this song. This is going to be our invitation song. Without you, Lord. I know I couldn't make it. Without you, Lord, everybody sing. Without you, Lord, you know that I can't make it. Yet, oh no, without you, Lord, without you, Lord, sing. Without you, Lord, you're my help and my strength. You, Lord.